Good morning, everyone. It is time yet again for one of our What Do You Think programs here on AM 1340 and 94.1 FM. I'm Nick Johnson, and I'm joined today by Melissa Guza. She is a Project Red committee member, and by Laura Lynch, County Administrative Manager for Huron County Farm Bureau, and they're here to talk to us today about Project Red, RED being an acronym for Rural Education Day. Good morning, ladies. Thank you for joining us today. And so Project RED, where should we start? What's a good starting point for that? What is Project RED?
So Project RED is an event that started in 1997 by Debbie Kabaki and Charlene Hagen, and it was started to educate Huron County's third graders about rural education, about farming, agriculture. Back then, most of the kids could relate to ag on the farm, yeah. Meaning maybe their parents still farmed or their grandparents farmed.
Yes, yeah.
But now we're into like probably the second and third generation removed from the farm as these third graders grow up and move through the education system. So a lot of them have no idea where the wheat comes from that crackers are made from, or that milk gets to you from a cow,
right,
that, you know, is then moved to the grocery store type of thing.
Just so, kind of taken for granted almost without even really much thought. You
correct.
Know, especially like you said, you shift from then to today where there's probably less kids involved on a farm, growing up on a farm. And so, you know, there's a little less kids that kind of know that naturally maybe by just how they grow up now.
Correct.
So. And how every day agriculture touches your life. I mean, it's in everything that you do, from the clothes you wear to the food you eat to the, you know, tires you're driving on. I mean, yeah. it's in everything.
And it's easy to kind of not even think about that, not even purposely, but not to even realize it. So it's nice to have a program like Project RED that kind of comes in and builds a little bit of awareness on that sort of thing. And so it started anyways with like third graders. Is that still kind of the age range that it's shooting for with Project RED, is around third grade?
Yes, we have all the third graders in Huron County are invited from all the large schools, plus we invite the parochial schools and the small rural schools that are K-8. So some of the smaller type schools tend to bring more of their students, so it's maybe not all third graders, but the majority
sure.
of them are third grade students.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Kind of the starting point anyways.
Yes.
That's very good. And that started, you said, in 1997, which is wild because I have to stop to think about that. That's what, 26 years ago. When I say 1997, in my mind, I think of it being like a couple years ago, but it's not anymore.
No.
So.
Yeah. And we've had this as an annual event other than the 2 years we were shut down for COVID.
For the COVID, yeah.
But yeah, we've been blessed that every school in the county has participated every year. Sometimes we'll have some of the smaller schools that will only have, you know, 7-8 students.
Sure.
They will bring us like second, third, and fourth grade, and they might come every other year.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we've been blessed to have everyone participate. And we've even in the past had some groups of homeschoolers, you know,
oh,
that
yeah.
show up. So,
yep,
you know, we're not opposed to that. It's just they're harder to track down.
Well, sure, sure. Absolutely. I was going to say, it seems like it's been successful for you guys. It looks like, is it this year, it's saying around 525 third grade students are expected to participate this year?
That is exactly what we
have
this year.
And yeah. has participated every year since it started. So it started off successful and has continued successful ever since, it looks like.
It's a huge project to undertake. We have about, 100, 150 volunteers that you know, put this program together. And, you know, it's kind of a well-oiled clock at this point in time to try,
yeah.
you know. It's very a complicated process to eat. You know, we have to know where every student is from every school, you know, throughout the whole day. You know, we do lunches and milks and... It's a huge thing.
Right. That's another thing that's easy to miss out on when you have things of this nature. Just how many people have to be involved to make it run like a well-oiled machine, you know, behind the scenes.
It works well for us, the system that we have going. But yeah, so we get a lot of that help from the local area businesses and volunteers. as well as local farmers, and the area FFA groups help us out a lot, putting on some of the stations as presenters, and they help us with guides guiding the kids around the fairgrounds for the day. And yeah,
is it I might have missed that somewhere, but is it so there's a specific location that it'll be happening, and is it on September 12th? Do I remember that right?
Yes.
Is it September 12th, right?
Yes. And so what we do is we take all of the kids and we break them up into 10 groups, and we take over the entire fairgrounds and we rotate them, you know, in groups of about 50 or so.
True. Right, and up here in Bad Axe.
Right, yeah. Here in Bad Axe at the fairgrounds, and we rotate them around from building to building. We have 10 different stations, and every year the stations are different. Mm-hmm. There's a few that remain the same, but you know, over the years we've done numerous different, you know, different things. But what this year we've got like a spaghetti, which is kind of cool. You know, what is in your spaghetti type thing?
Say,
you know, the wheat from the noodles, or you know,
what is
the,
in my spaghetti by the Bad Axe FFA? I thought that was a good name for that.
We've done a pizza garden one a couple of years ago, yeah, that the kids put on, and that went over very well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what is in your pizza? I mean, you know, from the wheat to the, sure, you know, on up to the cheese.
It's an easy way to kind of relate it for children, or even for adults like myself, who's still on a child's level in my mind. That's a great way to relate it, you know, the pizza and things that kids love to eat anyways, you know.
Yeah, and then what else do we have? We have animals. Animals are always a huge hit. So there's dairy animals, and there's some small livestock coming this year. And
we talk about, you know, it's not, you know, like a traditional petting zoo, you know, that you'd go to at a fair. I mean, not that you can't touch the animals, but they also teach you about, you know, how to care for them, you know, and a little bit more about them. I mean, you don't stop to think of the huge, you know, the different things, like eggs. I think a hen does 250 eggs a year they'll lay.
Wow.
Well, you know, who knows that?
Right,
so it's kind of
right.
Cool, you know, the kids can relate to, you know, something like that. You know, they see a chicken and like, oh my goodness, you know, it fed my entire family breakfast for the year, you know what I mean?
Right.
So that's kind of an interesting statistic. But every year, like, you know, I've been doing this since almost the beginning, and I've learned a cool little ag fact every year, and it's
time.
Like, wow, I didn't know that. You know, how cool is that?
Yeah,
those little tidbits that can kind of stick. And then, like you said, especially for kids, whether they go into an agricultural field or not, as they grow up, at least kind of makes them aware and have an appreciation for the farmers and all the different aspects, like you said, that go into just how deep and intertwined agriculture is in every area and facet of life.
Correct, and it's funny that you say that. We also have a station this year on ag careers.
Yes.
Careers involved in the agriculture industry. So there's many different things, whether it be finance or technology or computer programming. Computer programming now is becoming huge with all the technology and robotics and stuff that are involved in the equipment that we use every day on the farm.
Which is interesting, too, because, you know, just as you're talking about that, sometimes you hear ag and, at least for me, you get like a very narrow picture of what that entails. But as you're talking about the different careers, it's like, so even if you're a kid who wasn't grown up on a farm, maybe you're interested in computers or something like that, it's like, well, there still are jobs that might fit your interest in agriculture that you wouldn't even think just immediately by hearing the word agriculture.
Correct. You know, it's there's way more involvement now from just, you know, growing the grain, growing the crop, merchandising the crop, to harvesting the crop, and, you know, the people who are involved as far as seed dealers, equipment, and things like that. But there's way more involved now than there ever was before with different career type paths, I guess you could take.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you don't even think about it. I mean, I would have never thought, you know, many years ago when I started working that I would be, you know, in the ag industry. I mean, technically I am. I sit down and I have a sit-down job, but my whole, you know, focus on my job is to promote agriculture. So, you know, that would be an agricultural career.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. It's just kind of neat to see that it's quite a spider web of various careers and interests that all fall under the umbrella of what needs to be to allow all that to happen.
Correct.
Absolutely.
And then some of the other stations we have this year are on wheat, Star of the West is coming to present about wheat and everything that is derived from wheat, which there's all sorts of products that wheat isn't included in.
Yes.
Yeah. And Michigan Sugar is coming to teach us about sugar beets and everything that sugar's in. So.
Absolutely. Yeah, going to have all of those there to talk about the various things. See, drones.
Oh, the kids love the drones.
I was going to say, yeah.
Well, Carrie, and that, Corey brings some drones, and they fly them, and then they talk about, you know, how they use those, you know, in the ag industry. Corey, you know, he farms, and mm-hmm. and so that's very interesting. But the kids love, you know, to see these big, huge drones.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say that's a testament to what I just said a little bit ago about myself still being like a kid, because I saw drones, and I was like, ooh, drones, mm-hmm. even at 38 years old. So
Corey's became an annual station with the popular, with how popular drones have become over the years too.
Oh, I would imagine, yeah. Like you said, kids, that's just a really cool thing to see. I know my son and daughter always get a kick out of when they can see something like that too.
Yeah.
So, and looks like gonna have Tri-County Equipment going to be there. I have the large equipment station.
Yep. Normally we get a piece of large equipment, and there's normally a presentation on whatever that large piece of equipment is. And they learn about that, and they get their pictures taken on it, and they can try to check it out a little bit, and if they're allowed to climb on it, if it's a
piece of climbing equipment.
Sure, absolutely.
Like a tractor or something, you know, they could go check out.
But. Absolutely. Which is always cool to see the various pieces of large equipment, because large can be an understatement sometimes with some of the equipment the farmers use nowadays. Ginormous, huge comes to mind more even than that. I remember during the fair time, I was up at the fair, and, you know, they had some equipment up there, too, and you walk past some of that stuff, and it's like, holy cow, man. I mean, just incredible how big.
Yep, yep.
And they've talked about, you know, even I, again, you know, I was raised on a small hobby farm, and you don't think about, like, following a tractor behind on the road that, you know, you have to stop and look. If you can't see their mirrors, they can't see you.
Right.
And you can hide an entire vehicle behind,
easily, I'm sure, yeah.
you know, one of those pieces of equipment. So, you know, you have to be cautious of that. You know, the tractors are, you know, when they're out on the road, they have to go around mailboxes and things like that. And if you're not backed up enough that they can see you, or you can see their mirrors, they don't know you're, you know,
even
they don't
there.
Know you're there. So
right.
that's, you know, you have to be very careful. And you know, we've done classes on that. We've done classes on lawnmower safety.
Yeah.
You know, it may sound like small, but I mean, how many accidents happen year on just
lawnmowers?
Unfortunately,
yeah.
So
we've talked about that once or twice, even in a couple of news stories. And I tell my son, he's starting to want to cut the grass, you know, and tell him like, okay, yeah, but you know, you got to remember, man, you got to pay attention to what you're doing while you're doing this. Your mind can't be over here on this or over there on that. Like, it's not something to be afraid of, like, but it's something they have to take seriously, because it is one of those things that in a split second something very bad or tragic could happen. So
correct.
That's cool too. Again, like I said, just as we're talking all the different things you're talking about that make sense but don't necessarily pop to the forefront of your mind when you think agriculture, the different things you're talking about, some programs about safety with these things, all very good stuff, all stuff that definitely doesn't hurt to know.
Nope.
Very good. When we were talking about, we talked about the spaghetti, for sure, got the dairy animals and milking, going to have a presentation on that too, it looks like, by Delcath Farms?
Yep, that's a local dairy farm cows and do a station on educating them about milk cows and where the mm-hmm. milk comes from, and they even get to try out and play around with the milker, I think, and putting the milker on the cow and everything. So sticking their fingers in it.
My wife, she worked on a dairy farm for 5 or 6 years, and so, you know, she's got a good breakdown of all that. And again, just a lot of things you just wouldn't know, you know, things she's told me about how it works and the different things that the process there and everything. It's all very interesting and way more to it than you would just think, you know.
chocolate milk does not come from brown cows.
That was a very disappointing thing for me to learn, I gotta tell you.
That is always a question.
Yeah, I think, let me see, my wife and I have been together for 12 years. I would have been around 26 when we met, and I was about 26 years old when I learned that chocolate milk does not, in fact, come from brown cows. And I still haven't fully recovered from that. It was quite disappointing.
So did you think strawberry milk came from red cows then?
You know, I had hoped so. I had hoped so, you know, in my own little make-believe world of all things wonderful, you know.
Yeah.
I'm still holding out hope for unicorns, though. You know, my dreams were dashed on the chocolate and strawberry milk, but maybe unicorns are still out there somewhere.
I'm holding hope that there's a unicorn out there somewhere.
Yeah. Well, then, see, we'll hold hope together. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
Very good. Was there some more that we were going to touch on, do you think? Or
well, we can't do this without the community involvement and the support from all the local businesses. So we want to make sure that we take time to thank all of them, too.
Absolutely.
And each of the students receive a goodie bag with stuff that has been purchased with maybe items that the local community has donated or maybe money that was used to purchase items that are in that goodie bag.
So sure.
The kids go home with a very generous goodie bag with all kinds of items from gum to corn muffin mix and pudding and meat sticks.
Quite a wide array.
I mean, crayons, popcorn,
yeah.
Glue.
So besides getting
granola
to learn,
bars.
You get to go home with a nice gift bag too. So
and you can't also forget, you know, the behind the scene things that, you know, they don't probably get enough credit for, but like DJ's portable toilets, you know, they bring us, they donate from day one, you know, porta potties. The Thumb Disposal brings us dumpsters. I mean, we have massive amounts of trash when you're entertaining, you know, 500 kids.
Absolutely.
You know, that Farmcrest Foods, they donated all of the boxes to hold these. I mean, it's something that, you know, we didn't have to purchase, and it's so needed. But, you know, the hidden things are the biggie.
Right. Well, we're just touching the top. I mean, it's not
iceberg, iceberg type of thing.
Yeah, of all the people donated.
Yes.
Yeah, right. Well, and that's, we talked about a little bit earlier, too, and I think it's like you said, you can never really over speak of those sorts of things, because whenever an event like this goes on, of this size especially, the amount of work behind the scenes and the amount of hands and minds that have to be involved in it, you know, and especially you can know how much work went into it with how smoothly it always ends up going. You know what I mean? It's kind of like that saying, when a job's done right, you never even know that it was done, which the double-edged part of that sword is that if it went so smoothly, it means probably a lot of people did a lot of time and effort and backbreaking labor into making sure that it was able to go off as smoothly as it did.
Well, there's always something, you know, first thing in the morning, you know, I mean, you have to realize that in like 15 minutes, we have every school and these 500 kids show up all within 15 minutes of each other. So, you know, we've got everybody, you know, directing, and, you know, usually Melissa's right there, hard and heavy in the middle. I am the official fire putter outer.
Yeah.
If that's an actual title.
I like it.
So I, you know, my job in the morning is to just run from spot to spot to spot. But then usually, you know, after half an hour or so, I can take a deep breath when the rest of the crew are still, you know, running and doing their jobs, you know. Fires are put out. Okay, I'm good.
It's normally a pretty stressful morning, just trying to make sure everybody is everywhere. And the half hour that we have where the kids are all coming and being unloaded,
And the level of excitement is up for all of them, too. And so, you know, that's, like you said, within that 15 to 30 minutes where everything is first happening, it's like that first wave of the tsunami coming in, like, holy cow, here we go.
Yeah. Well, and then we start in, I mean, the kids are there most of the day, and so they bring lunches. And so we have, you know, they drop off all these lunches in this one big building, and then we have a whole crew that has to sort everything out and figure out where that school is, you know, going to be for lunch.
They eat
at one of the stations. So, you know, they have to run the lunches out there. And then we get milk donated for everybody. And, you know, as they're going through the through the day, not only are they seeing these 10 stations, but we're also giving them about every other station or so, they get popcorn and, and, you know,
Go-Gurt, cheese sticks.
Yes. Ice cream.
I forgot.
No, don't forget the ice cream.
The kids won't forget the ice cream.
They don't. So, you know, and it's kind of funny. They have like 5 minutes to get from one building to the next. And, you know, we're tossing out ice cream bars, as you know, to just 50 of them in 2 minutes. Exactly.
Like you're a blackjack dealer.
Exactly. So, I mean, it's all that behind this stuff that is, you know, that wheel again.
Right. It's very, absolutely. It takes a lot. It takes a lot to make any kind of event happen. It really does. I was interested, too. I saw, I just want to see this part here. It said, although many people assume when they hear Farm Bureau, it's just an insurance company. And you do work hand-in-hand, it says, with Farm Bureau Insurance, but Huron County Farm Bureau is actually a separate organization, eh?
We are a separate organization. We're a nonprofit organization, and our goal is to promote agriculture. And we are run by a board of directors. There's 9 board of directors. They're all active farming or in the agriculture industry. And
people who know about it from hands-on experience, not just bureaucrats, so to speak.
Correct.
People who know it.
Yeah. We do a lot of different programs, you know, and this is just one of them. But, you know, we send people to Lansing to talk to politicians about, you know, the things that are important. We send to Washington, D.C. a few people. We have a lot of leadership programs that we do. So, you know, it's a member-based organization and you know, grassroots.
Yeah. Well, it's the best way, I think. The most sincere way, you know, coming up grassroots like that. Very good. So was there anything I'm missing out of what we had before us that you'd like to touch on, do you think? Because I'm kind of want to miss things here and there. I have a memory of a goldfish, so to speak, so.
No, I guess the only thing that I would like to tack on, you know, is if you have a group of homeschoolers, you know, give us a call. It's obviously too late to jump in on this year, but, you know, we can add you on to a list, you know, for next year, but.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That would be awesome. You know, the program is, it's an amazing program, teaching these kids about agriculture.
Yeah, that's a nice one to add on at the end there. Well, ladies, thank you so much. Again, I was joined today by Melissa Guza, Project Red Committee member, and Laura Lynch, the County Administrative Manager for Huron County Farm Bureau, talking to us and educating us and myself, dispelling a little bit of my ignorance on Project Red. Thank you, ladies, very much.
Thanks, Nick.